Your Bibles with me on this Mother's Day, I'll be to Exodus chapter 16, verse 1, in about maybe 15 minutes, but that's where we're going to be starting this morning. Exodus 16, verse 1. Now, you know, this Mother's Day 2020, loved one, moms, listen to me, everybody, here's the deal. This Mother's Day is different from any in your lifetime thanks to COVID-19. I was thinking about a few things that's happening. Number one, here we are. We've been going through the sheltering in place. We've been working from home, a lot of us, taking care of the kids, teaching our kids remotely, if you will. I mean, that right there is a job in itself. But, you know, now in the midst of this craziness, this pandemic, we have a new wardrobe, ladies. You know, you get to wear your mask and your gloves. I mean, just think about that. Not only that, you have a new fragrance. What's it called? Pure L or whatever. And matter of fact, you even have a new hairdo. Yesterday, the first haircut I've had since March, the first week of March. So, man, I know. I mean, the moment my barber opened up, I went. Ooh, thank God for that. And but I kind of feel weak because it feels like all of my hair is gone, if you know what I mean. Get it? Okay, never mind. Also, so you have a new hairdo. It's called All Naturel. All right. And you have a new position. You have learned to social distance from everyone, probably the hardest thing to do for a woman, you know what I mean? And so there you are at Kroger's or Sam's or Costco's. You keep your distance from everyone. Now listen to me. In one day, not only mothers, but in one day, our normal life ended, temporarily ended, and the new normal began. And without a doubt, listen, it is a surreal time or an unreal time. This is not only true for mothers on Mother's Day, but it's true for every believer, really for every man, woman, and child, not only in America, but those that have been affected around the entire world because COVID-19 is the new normal. No vaccine. We all know those things. We know the horrible number of deaths that have occurred in America. How many? Over a million are, of course, infected. Now we're staring down the highest unemployment rate in the history of our world, greater than the Great Depression. And now you go to the market and they're rationing out meat. Can you believe that? And yet they just gassed over 2 million chickens in our nation. They're plowing under the fields. They're dumping millions of gallons of milk, and people are standing in food lines to get food. It doesn't really make sense. But I'll tell you what all of this means. It means that a mother has gone from motherhood to super motherhood, okay? And that's exactly, and all those things are facts, but listen to me carefully. There's no doubt that everything has temporarily changed in our nation, and it seems like it continues to change. But here's the deal. You know it, and I know it. Moms, dads, everybody, Jesus hasn't changed. God, Jesus, Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's word has never changed. It is eternal. It'll never change on us. Now, with all that being said, may I say to all of us this morning, but I'm speaking to moms, and in a few moments, many of the moms are going to go, now, Bill, is this really a Mother's Day message? But it is. Just trust me. But you know, the truth is, mothers, you know, we and you are the safest people on this earth. Think about it, the Christian mother. I mean, you're not only inscribed on the palm of God's hand, God is not only your rear guard, but Jesus said in John 10:27, he said this, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. If we're following the Lord, and I know that you are, we're safe. He's not going to lead us into danger. And if he does, he's going to be in that danger with us. Amen? Jesus says, listen, and I give them, not we earn it or work for it, I give them as a gift eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You know why I love that verse? Because if eternal life, if it is conditional, then how can it be eternal? Listen, when God saved you, when God saved me, he saved you forever. And he who began a good work in your life and in your heart loved one, he's going to keep you and continue until the very, very end. But that doesn't mean, moms, that life that we're going through is a trouble-free life. Remember what Jesus said in John 16:33? He says, "These things I speak unto you, that in me you may have peace." Not in a religion, but in a relationship. He says, Jesus goes on, he says, in the world, here comes that promise, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage or be of good cheer. Don't fall apart. He says, Jesus, for I have overcome this world. Now listen, on this Mother's Day, do you know that Jesus overcame the world for you and for me, for every believer? Amen. Listen, the world bases its resources. Look what the world is doing. I mean, I have never been in all of my lifetime, and I've been all over the world, I have never been with a people that hoard toilet paper. I mean, that's the strangest thing I've ever seen. Or they hoard sanitizer, hand sanitizer. You know, are the scams that are going around. I don't know that you heard yet, but you know, many there in the congregation, they were receiving text messages from me, but it wasn't from me. It was from, I don't really know who it was from, a thief, and trying to say, hey, this is Pastor Bill, I'm at the hospital, and I need you to come down here or send, we need a couple of $100 to help this family. Of course, thank God nobody did that, but that's the time that we're living in right now. So the world's peace is always based on what they have, their resources. But loved one, listen, our peace is based on Jesus Christ. He himself, the Bible says, Ephesians 2, what, 11 or 14? He says, he himself is our peace. Now you're going, now Bill, wait a minute. Is this really a Mother's Day sermon? Yes, it is, but it's a different Mother's Day sermon because we're in a different time. There has never been a Mother's Day like this in your lifetime or in my lifetime. And no matter, men, sons, daughters, no matter how you try to honor mom today, listen to me now, it's just not going to be the same type of Mother's Day. Listen, sometimes, and we don't want this, but sometimes life is a series. It's a series of valleys and mountaintops and back in the valley. In other words, sometimes life is a series of new normals, okay? Especially in the life of the believer. You remember the Lord God when he delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. They'd been there for 400 years. Think about that. In slavery, in bondage, and the Lord delivered the children of Israel. And he did so by the blood of the Lamb. Now, let me stop. The children of Israel means not just dads. It means mothers, too. Amen? So this is a Mother's Day message. But listen to me. Think about this. Their norm was this. They only knew slavery. They only knew bondage. All those generations, 400 years, loved one. Man, think about that. And then all of a sudden, here comes the deliverer. Here comes Moses that God sent. And the children of Israel, now they're out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage. And guess where they're going? Not New York City. They're going right into the wilderness, loved one. You talking about a brand new normal after 400 years? You see, that's what we're experiencing, leaving the old normal, going into this new normal. Are you at Exodus 16:1? Let's read. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came, here it is, to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month. Everyone say second month. And after they departed from the land of Egypt, meaning out of the bondage of slavery, then, the moment they were freed by the blood of the Lamb, look what they did. Then the whole congregation, men, women, children, everyone, mothers, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they rejoiced and they celebrated that God had delivered them. If you have that Bible and it says that, you need to throw it in the trash because that's not the Bible. No, it says the whole congregation, men, women, moms, children, grandfathers, grandmothers, complained against their leaders, Moses and Aaron, and did so where? In the wilderness. Now listen, they were only 2 months out. Now listen, Did you catch that? The second month? Here we are. We just passed the second month of our wilderness in this pandemic. Are you complaining? I've complained. Believe me. You know, I'm really complaining now that the traffic is coming back on 820. But listen, have you been complaining? You know, how much better to be in the wilderness with God than in the bondage of Egypt, the slavery of Egypt? How much better to be with God in the coronavirus pandemic than not being with God? See, God is with us. I'm going to tell you something about complaining. Here's what complaining does for the believer. 10,000, pardon me, it's allergy season, as we all know, and just because I'm sneezing and coughing and snorting up here doesn't mean that I have anything else but allergies, okay? But here's the deal. You know, when it comes to complaining for the Christian, complaining makes a believer forget the 10,000 blessings that God has bestowed upon them. That's what complaining does, loved one. No, listen, and I know you can say, listen, I want my old life back. Man, I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm out of my routine. I'm happy as long as my life is just on a smooth, even keel. Amen, loved one. I don't want our life violated, but it has been. Now look at verse 3. And the children of Israel, and when you see the term children of Israel, that means moms, dads, everyone. The children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate the bread to the full. Oh, I want my whole life back. I do understand. For you brought us, talking to Aaron and Moses, you brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. You remember in Numbers, I believe it is, and how they start complaining and they go, oh, back in Egypt. Oh, here we're going to starve to death out here. And they start talking about the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the garlic and, you know, all that stuff. Well, it's the same thing for us. Here we are. We're in the wilderness of this pandemic. We're trying to get through it on this Mother's Day. We're sick of it. We're tired of all the masks, the gloves, sanitizing our hands, tired of going to the grocery store and all the rest of it. And we're just like them. Oh, when we used to eat freely at Chili's. Oh, when we used to go into the In-N-Out Burger, Raul, you know what I mean? Oh, Lord, when we used to go to that place where you cannot hear yourself talk to your neighbor, Uncle Julio's. No, listen, we're doing the same thing. Don't you understand? We don't want to be complainers. Verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm going to rain fire and brimstone. No, that's not what God said. He said, I'm going to rain down what? Bread from heaven, meaning the manna, remember? And the people shall, well, they're going to go out and they're going to gather a certain quota every day. And here's the reason. God says that I may test them whether they're going to obey me or not, walk in my law. Now, listen, I don't know about how you feel about it, but God's love hasn't changed. And that is the incredible love of God to a complaining people, a rebellious people, and a people that are filled with unbelief, and yet they are still his people. God didn't forsake them. Moms, listen to me. During this temporary season of insanity called the pandemic, God's not going to forsake you, even though you may feel like it, because you're under different pressures than you have ever been in your lifetime. Now drop down in your Bibles to Exodus 16:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Now speak to them, saying this, at twilight, in the evening, you shall eat meat. And in the morning, you're going to be filled, that's filled to the full with bread. And you shall know that I'm the Lord your God. And so it was, look what God did, that God came up, or that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. Now the dew was the manna. Now listen to me. Listen to me carefully, moms. Everybody, they did not have to hunt quail in the evening. Think about that. I mean, oh gosh. I mean, at dinner time, it's dinner time, and all of a sudden, there's 2 million people maybe. Millions of quail started coming into their camps. I mean, how would you like you to just walk outside and tons of Chateaubriand and prime rib and chicken fried and mashed potatoes. They just marched right into your house, man. That's exactly what was happening. But listen to me. That was now in the wilderness, out of the old normal of slavery. This was their new normal. They fell asleep every night. Their stomachs were full. And while they slept, what did God do? He rained down their provision, the manna from heaven. They didn't work for it. They didn't even earn it. They didn't even have to search for it, loved one. And it says in verse 14, and when the layer of the dew lifted on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. They call that angel's food, one of the psalmists did, by the way. So the children of Israel, man, woman, mothers, everybody, said to one another, what is it? That's, by the way, that's what manna means. What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Drop down to verse 31. And the house of Israel called its name manna, or what is it? And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, do you remember what happened to the first generation of the children of Israel that Moses, God used Moses to take out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery? Do you remember what happened to them? Yes, you do. Their carcasses, the Bible says, fell in the desert. Why? Because God says 40 years of wandering is going to happen to you because you refused to enter into the promised land. Now you're saying again, Bill, are you sure this is a Mother's Day sermon? Yes, it is, but it's a Mother's Day. It's a different Mother's Day sermon because of the different time we are in. Now listen, the first generation, did they have children, little boys, little girls? Yes, they did. So that was the second generation. Now you have in the wilderness, the first generation, they are dead. And the second generation, now they're born, the women and they're marrying and so forth, all the things that are happening. But listen to me carefully. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. Talking about new normal, old normal, listen carefully. The only life, the only normal that they knew was the wilderness. They were the second generation. They were born in the wilderness. They lived in the wilderness. They traveled in the wilderness. That is all they knew. And moms, listen to me. They witnessed the greatness of God like no other generation. That was their normal. Do you understand? That was their normal. Now, for 40 years, you know what happened to them? The Bible says, Moses told them, for 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out. Hello? Matter of fact, your sandals never wore out. For 40 years, you know what they saw? They had a cloud by day, and for 40 years, they had a pillar of fire by night, meaning God was right there. Loved one, that was their normal. They knew nothing else but that. Now, it says in Exodus 40, verse 36, it's talking about the cloud, the pillar of fire. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel, that's mothers, fathers, everybody, would go onward in their journeys. But if the cloud wasn't taken up, then they didn't journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, and fire over it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all their journeyings. Now listen to me. These mothers in that normal of theirs, you know what they did? They did the same thing day in and day out, every morning, every evening for 40 years. In the morning, they would pick up the manna. In the evening, they would gather up the meat, the quail, whatever God sent. Listen, that was their norm. That was their way of life. That was their mindset. That's all that they knew for 40 long years. And instantly something happened. From that normal, instantly plunged into a new normal, okay? Now go to Joshua 3:1 with me. And let's go from the old normal that we just talked about to the new normal. Joshua chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And let me read it to you after I take a drink here. It says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove," in other words, the children of Israel there, "and they came up to the Jordan." Now, the Jordan, we know from another verse, was already at flood stage, okay? So they came up to the Jordan River, all the children of Israel, all the moms, the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. So Joshua, leading the entire nation now, they're leaving the wilderness. They're going to cross over, or they're preparing to cross over and go into the promised land, but they have to get across the Jordan. Now, so it was, after 3 days, the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "Now, when you see," not the cloud, "when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, when you see the priest, when you see the Levites, and when they're carrying it," remember they carried it on those poles, "now look what the children of Israel are to do. Then you shall set out from your place and you go after it." Now, for the first time in Joshua, the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned. You know that the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. Now, so here it is mentioned. Now, listen, Mom, for 40 years, the second generation, talking about wild, all they knew, I mean, all that they knew, the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. When the cloud moved, I have to move. That's all that they knew. Manna in the morning, you know, a quail in the evening. I mean, for 40 long years. But now, they're no longer going to follow a cloud. They're going to follow what? The Ark of the Covenant. That is the new normal, if you will. Watch this now. "And yet, there'll be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure." So that's about 3,000 feet. So they practice social distancing even back then, okay? Now, look what he says. "Do not come near it, that you may know the way you must go." See, they had to be obedient. They had to stay away. They had to social distance themselves from the Ark of the Covenant, the priests, the Levites, and so forth. Why? They would be lost. They had, so to know the way you have to go. Why? For you've not passed this way before. This is a brand new adventure, this new normal, okay? So I want you to listen to me now. The old normal for the children of Israel is the same as the new normal now of the children of Israel, but yet it is just different. See, the cloud and the ark, they both represented the presence of the living God among them. See, God is still going before them. He's still loving them. He's still protecting them, but he's doing it in a new way. You have to follow now the Ark of the Covenant of God. See, the only way out of the wilderness was the cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. The only way into a new land, a new norm, is to follow the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 5, "And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves," literally wash yourself, wash your body, wash your clothes, "for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant, went before the people, and the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will do something," not you, Joshua, but I will begin to exalt you or make you great in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that I was with, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. Now that was a promise all the way back that God promised him, okay, in Joshua 1. "And you shall command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand at the Jordan. Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the coronavirus, the monovirus, and the zonavirus, or whatever the rest of them are called. Now, I know I'm silly, but I don't care. Now, listen. God, do you see what God just said to Joshua? I didn't call you to go defeat your enemies. God says, I've already defeated them for you. God's already defeated them, loved one. Listen, let's fight in God's power, not in our power. No, our God is more than the God of Israel. Look, he is the living God. And look at verse 11. Behold the presence of God, literally, or behold the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, or the master of all the earth is crossing. And look at it. He goes first. He's going to lead. That's what he's always doing. He goes before you in the Jordan. Man, listen, on this Mother's Day, don't forget that God is, he is a God of all the earth, and man, he is leading us, and he can handle our enemies. He can handle all of our problems. In verse 12, and now therefore take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest of the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest the waters of the Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come from down upstream, they're going to stand up as a heap. So it was when the people set from their camp to cross the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. They were just watching. They were keeping their distance, remember. And those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark, look what happened. They just dipped in the edge of the water. Why? For the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the time of harvest. So in the time of harvest, it was right at the time when they were there, March and April. Listen, and most of the Jordan that year, it's always at least 100 feet wide. And after the flood, man, it's like it became a mile wide. And it says that the waters which came from upstream, look what happened, stood still, rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. So the waters went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea. It failed, and they were cut off. The people crossed opposite Jericho, and then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of all the Jordan, and all of Israel crossed on dry ground until all the people, dads, moms, grandmothers, all the people, children, had completely crossed over into the Jordan. Now they're finally in the promised land. Loved one, listen, that is a visual. The water of the Jordan River stood up 20 miles all the way back to the city of Adam, stood up like a wall. I mean, I can't even imagine that. And they walked across on dry land. Go to Joshua chapter 4, verse 14. And on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And then the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the priest to bear the ark, and so forth. And it goes all the way down. It says, come up there with the ark. And it goes to the very last verse. It says, and the priest's feet touched the dry land and the waters of the Jordan. What happened? They returned to their place as the banks as before. Go to chapter 5 of Joshua, please. Now, a new normal begins again. Watch this. They're in the promised land. They are at a town, a city called Gilgal. Everyone say Gilgal. Gilgal. Amen. Now listen, the second generation, what does God do? Now, he's preparing them for war. So what does God do with all the males? He tells Joshua, circumcise all of the males because they had not been circumcised like the first generation had, okay? So here they are, instead of going in and taking the land, that's probably what they thought they were going to do. Instead, now they're waiting, hanging around, waiting, sitting to be healed, okay? Now listen, this is important. Their first experience in the new land, the first experience was pain. Think about that for a moment. It was painful. Do you know what? That's our first experience too, moms, in this pandemic. I mean, I can go all the way back to the day I found out that I was going to step into this auditorium and it was going to be empty. Can I tell you, that was painful. Painful not to see your faces. Painful not to hug you or shake your hand or whatever. No, listen. Their first experience in this new normal, pain. Now, happy Mother's Day. Why? Because Gilgal is where we are, all of us, is the place of transition. It is the place of the new normal. It is the place that we find ourselves in pain. But listen to me now, that pain is only temporary. See, we're in Gilgal. You know what we're doing? We're like the guys that were circumcised. We're just sitting here waiting for this to end. We're just waiting. We're in transition. You know, we want to return to the old norm. Gilgal is where everything changes instantly. Now look at chapter 5 of Joshua, verse 11. And they ate the produce of the land, meaning they, for the very first time, by the way, on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread, parched grain on the very day. Now look at verse 12. Then the manna ceased. The manna ceased. Now listen to me. 6 days a week. The sixth day, remember, they would gather twice as much so they wouldn't do it on the Sabbath, the seventh day. Now listen, think about this. 6 days a week, morning, evening. Quail in the evening or meat in the evening, manna in the morning. Every day for 40 years, and look what happened. Then the manna ceased. On the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel, moms, dads, everybody, no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land that year. Can you see, we read that and it doesn't imagine the effect that had upon them. They now had to go out and do their own harvesting and so forth, all the rest of those things. Before, God just, here it is, it's right there in your yard, man. No, they not only came into a new land, but they came into a new diet. The 40 years of wilderness ended. They're living. Now listen to me. I want you to see something. No matter what we're in our life, the old normal, the new normal, the pandemic, whatever we want to call it, the Gilgal. Here's the deal. I want you to notice here that God, there was never a break in God's provision for his people. Never. God didn't stop the manna when the people despised it. They didn't like the manna, remember? Or when they complained about it. God didn't stop the manna when they refused to enter into the promised land. When did God stop the manna? When they walked in and they had abundant provision. For God shall supply all of our needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't let this pandemic frighten you. No, no, no. God is with us. Now look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now he's seeing it by the very first time, by the way, because the spies had only checked it out. But look what he did. Joshua, he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and instead of seeing the city of Jericho, look what happened. He looked and behold, a man stood opposite him and his sword drawn in his hand. Now, ready for combat. Listen, did you notice that the word man is capitalized in your Bible? Or the word his sword or H and so forth, or his hand, is all capitals? Now, who is that? Well, this one who has the sword drawn, ready for combat, is what we call a theophany. It's God. It's the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And then Joshua went to him, capital H, and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now remember, Joshua, the only living survivor from the first generation, except for Caleb, okay? He drew close to Jericho. Why was he doing that? Well, I know what leaders do. They go out, they survey. He was probably sitting there going, how in the world am I going to take Jericho? How is it going to happen? It's a walled place. And, you know, here we are. How are we going to do all these things? You know, leadership, loved one, listen to me now. Whether you're a mom, dad, every Christian, but leadership can be a very lonely place. I know undoubtedly maybe Joshua was going, the decision that he was trying to make, he was probably saying, you know, to himself, how is this going to affect the lives of all the people that I'm going to lead into that city? I could be saying the same thing. What's going to happen when we reopen? Right now, praise God, I have not heard of anyone in our congregation having COVID-19. I pray Psalm 91 over you every day. I believe it with all my heart. I'm certainly not saying I'm the reason that this not happened, but I tell you I am praying. But I say, okay, if we reopen, when we reopen, oh Lord, please, we need to, that's why we're praying through all this. Loved one, listen, Joshua, he wasn't alone, but he thought maybe he was alone. And moms, can I tell you that you're not alone either? See, right now, moms, Gilgal, that is our new normal. It's every Christian's new normal. But here's the deal. In our Gilgal, in this pandemic, in this transitory pain or whatever we're, the time of waiting or whatever you want to call it, Gilgal, loved one, the pandemic is a place also of revelation. Look at the next verse. And he said to Joshua, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And what did Joshua do? He fell on his face to the earth and he worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? This is the a theophany. It's the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, loved one. To Abraham, when he came to Abraham, remember what was it, Genesis 18? He was a traveler. You know, when it came to Moses, it was a he was a burning bush and so forth. To Jacob at the well, he was a wrestler. To Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was the fourth man. But to Joshua, he was the commander of the armies of the Lord. Here's, mom, listen to me now. Everybody, all Christians, listen to me. In the midst of this pandemic, we have to remember something, that we are not first in command, we are second in command. Jesus is our Lord. Listen, our Lord not only comes to help us, he never leaves us, never forsake us, he also comes to lead us. Amen? And the Bible says, thanks be unto God who always leads us in Christ in triumph, in victory. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Oh, no, listen, Joshua fell to his feet just like Mary did in the New Testament. Why? Well, to worship him. But listen, God's going to answer. What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army has unseen all those myriads and myriads of angels that are around us right this minute, keeping us, said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did. Loved one, listen to me. The ground of Canaan, it didn't become holy. It wasn't anything holy about it. What made it holy was the Lord God. He was there, his presence. Now listen to me. Maybe, moms, you feel, maybe like Joshua was probably feeling when he looked at Jericho. How in the world is this going to happen? How am I going to take this city? Or you may, the same thing in this pandemic. Oh, God, listen, you may be saying, you know what? I feel like I'm in over my head. This is just too much. I'm fearful for the future. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what to do. You know what? Listen, Carrie, it was at Gilgal, the place of transition, the place of a new normal, the place of waiting, that Joshua learned to take off his shoe. Where did you learn it? Have you learned it? Listen, the new normal right now requires something, because all of us, moms, all of us, we're in Gilgal with you. That is the new normal. Maybe we should take off our shoe, because the Lord is here with us. And when you realize that, that will be the greatest Mother's Day present you can ever receive. Mothers, listen to me. The battle was not Joshua's, and he was finding that out. He wasn't the commander after all. Listen, the battle wasn't Joshua's. The battle is not yours. It's God's. Listen, stop fighting the Lord's battles. You have to stop. I have to stop. Make that Gilgal, where we are. Make this your new normal. Listen to me. The Lord's sword was drawn. Is your sword drawn? You see, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:17, it says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember, the sword of the Spirit, our only offensive weapon. The word there for word, take up the Word of God, is not the Logos of God, the written word. It's Rhema. Rhema is a warfare word. It means where the information on this page that you read and study becomes from here to here, it becomes revelation in your heart. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing, believing the word of the living God. What is your sword? The word. Praise the Lord from the God who cannot lie. Moms, listen, are you armed? Has this pandemic disarmed you? Have you laid down with all your greatest weapon because of all that you're consumed with, teaching your kids and taking care of everything and not knowing what's coming next and working from home, whatever you're doing, you need to sharpen your sword if you've laid it down. You need to take the sword of the Word of God, and you need to fill your heart with the living Word of God. How about this one? Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now listen to me. God didn't say, hey, I'm on your side. That's not what that scripture is teaching at all. No, he says, I, God, myself, am for you. Think of that. The creator of it, he said, I'm for you. All that is God, all that God has is for you. He says, who can be against you? That is a challenge from God Almighty in the presence of his children, a challenge to the entire universe and everyone. How dare you stand against me, God? These are my children. These are my moms. These are my dads. Oh, loved one, listen. No, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up on the tree, on the cross, for the sins of the world, for us, how will he not with him freely give you all things? Freely give you all things, speaking about the provision that you need in this life. You know, the Bible tells us, loved one, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, the coronavirus, as is written. It says, for your sake, we are killed all day long. Count as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, no matter what we're facing in this life, you are more than we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. You know, I want to close by doing something. I want to read Romans 8, a part of it, from a mother, her translation to you moms. You ready? Listen very carefully. Romans 8 from a mother. God, I may fall flat on my face. I may fail until I feel old and beaten and done in. Yet your love for me is changeless. All the music may go out of my life and my private world may shatter into dust. Even so, you hold me in the palm of your steady hand. No turn in affairs of my fractured life can baffle you. Satan and all his braggadocio cannot distract you. Nothing can separate me from your measureless love. Pain can't, disappointment can't, anguish can't, yesterday, today, tomorrow can't, the loss of my dearest love can't. Death can't, life can't, riots can't, war, insanity, hunger, neurosis, disease. None of these things, nor all of them heaped together, can budge the fact I'm dearly loved, completely forgiven, forever free through Jesus Christ, your beloved son. Happy Mother's Day. Father, I praise you and thank you for your word to the sheep, the mothers of your pasture, during this time of unreal pandemic. And I thank you, Lord, that you're blessing them and encouraging them and keeping them and helping them. And Lord God, I pray that anyone listening to the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord, I beg you to pray quickly. I pray that you would confess right now with your mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, save me. If you believe that and you really pray that, he'll save you right where you are. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. We love you dearly. We give you praise. We give you glory for this day. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.